But now, how much do we know about Mexico? Chances are, if you've read anything about Mexico in the news, it'll be about the drug cartels and violence that has plagued the country since 2006. As of 2011, the drug war in Mexico has taken the lives of more than 60,000 people and has displaced more than 230,000 people. Investigative journalism into the violence in Mexico is rare, given many media organisations have been intimidated by criminals and corrupt officials. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, or CPJ, Mexico is the third most dangerous country for journalists in the world. CPJ also reported the murder of a print journalist in Mexico as the first person they'd found who was killed in direct relation to reporting done on social media. But it's social media that stepped into the vacuum of information that self-censoring papers and coward public officials have left behind, and it's being used by ordinary citizens to tell each other about the violence that's happening on the streets. Anders Monroy Hernandez is a researcher at Microsoft Research and an affiliate at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. He helped to write a research paper investigating how ordinary people are using social media as a resource for alerts of local violence. The research took place in four cities affected by the drug war: Monterrey, Reynosa, Saltillo, and Veracruz, over 16 months from August 2010 to November 2011. Andres joins us now. Good morning and welcome to RN Summer Breakfast.
Good morning. Good morning.
Now, you're originally from Mexico and born in Mexico City, and I assume that's what inspired you to do this research.
That's right. Yeah, I've been doing research on social computing in general, but I've been following the news of Mexico very closely as I'm from Mexico, and you know, I decided to start doing more of a careful investigation of what's happening on social media there.
Now, is the whole of Mexico plagued by this violence? I understand it's more towards the northern end of the country.
That's correct, yeah. Most of the country, I will say, is safe, especially, you know, a big tourist area. But, you know, the part of the country that is in the north, bordering with the United States, is where most of the violence has been focused in the past few years.
Have you any idea the amount of money involved in drug trafficking in Mexico?
I mean, I don't have exact numbers, but I've read a bunch of different reports that show the numbers are staggering. They're really, really high, and it seems like regardless of the different changes in policies and enforcement in, against the drug war cartels, you know, these numbers continue to increase. In fact, there was a really interesting report in the New York Times a few months ago about one of the cartels and the crazy amount of money that they generate for both Mexico and the U.S.
Do you know how many cartels are involved?
Well, you know, if you look at the news, it's primarily three cartels, although this changes all the time. So there is the Sinaloa cartel, there is the Zetas cartel, there is the Gulf cartel, and, you know, there are some smaller and different cartels, and these things shift all the time, so it's hard to keep up.
Now, the source of the violence then, what is it? Is it turf wars between these cartels?
That's correct. Yeah, most of the times it's cartels fighting for control over particular parts of the territory. Also, there is clashes between the cartels and the military or the state or local police as well.
Okay, and the main source of their income is what, the sale of cocaine and methamphetamines?
That's correct. I believe, I mean, I don't have the exact numbers of how they split their income based on each of the types of drugs, but, you know, from what I read, cocaine and meth are probably the highest in terms of income for them and things that they sell in the United States.
Now, has it become difficult, I assume it has, for the media, for the more traditional media, to report accurately on these events?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned during the introduction, you know, traditional media, the journalists are often threatened by the drug cartels and sometimes even by the local government in what to report and how to report things. So, you know, there is a lot of fear, I think, among a lot of journalists, and this has given rise to this new kind of what I call news reporters or, you know, war correspondents on social media who are often, you know, a witness in the different kinds of violence that they see on the streets, and they go on Twitter primarily as well as Facebook to report in real time what they see and alert one another of what parts of the city to avoid.
And how effective is this?
It's pretty effective, actually. So one of the interesting things is that, you know, for the criminal organizations, in some ways, from what I've seen, it's not a a big deal if people report real-time, you know, reports of public events. This is information that anyone who is walking by the street will see. But what is really interesting is that these violent events, from, you know, shootings to grenade attacks to car bombings, last for, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, even longer. So going online and checking what parts of the city to avoid when you are going from home to work or from work to home, it's really useful. So, you know, a lot of the people that I know and some people that I talked to before I did this study, you know, they report doing this, you know, every day as a kind of like a traffic report in some ways. So this has been quite useful for a lot of people.
Look, how commonplace are, you know, shootings, public executions, gun firefights? How common are they?
They're very common. So one of the fascinating things about this study that I did is that there's been a lot of work on this field of crisis informatics that focuses on big events like earthquakes, floodings, and things like that, that, you know, they're really terrible, but they also happen once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime. What is interesting about the Mexican case is that these events are, you know, things that happen every other day. So in a lot of the cities that I study and other cities as well, you see these kinds of events happening, you know, very, very frequently, a couple of times per week, sometimes even a couple of times per day. So this has been become part of everyday life for these people. So they developing these mechanisms for information flow on social media have been quite productive and quite useful for them.
So literally, you will have a look at a Twitter page, and that will tell you what parts of the city to avoid because there's a firefight going on.
Correct. Yeah. So I bet if you go right now to Twitter and you check for the hashtag, you know, MTY follow, which is one of the hashtags that we looked at for the city of Monterrey, you will find people reporting right now something that happened, you know, maybe right now, maybe a few hours ago. So it's actually a really useful report.
Now, is this useful to the police at all? Do the police access this to be able to get involved?
This is a good question. I think there's been conflicting information about this. So some local governments have been, you know, in some ways grateful to citizens that they report things online, and, you know, sometimes this might prompt their investigations, but other times the local governments have complained about the spreading of false information or rumors on social media. So some of these local governments have been quite upset about the use of social media as what they perceive is kind of like something that the government should be doing and citizens should not be, you know, taking, you know, this information on their own hands.
How do the cartels feel about people who tweet information about them?
This is an interesting question, and I think there are different also opinions on this. So, as you mentioned during the intro of your show, you know, one of the things that we saw happen and that it's been kind of isolated events is, you know, there's a couple of cases of cartel criminal organizations killing people supposedly in response to what they post online. And this is something that I have not studied, primarily because it's something that focuses on spreading information that is private, and it's also something that doesn't happen as often as what I was describing of publishing things that are public. So when it comes to public information of shootings and other things on Twitter and Facebook, my impression from what I've seen in these past few months is that the cartels are not as, you know, concerned about that kind of spreading of information of things that are public and also things that are actually more actionable or more useful for everyday citizens. So I will say most of the activity on social media resides on reporting public information, of which most of it is not controversial for the drug cartels.
Look, Anders, it's what a fascinating problem. Thank you so much for giving us an insight into really what is becoming a most difficult and chilling part of the world. Anders Monroy Hernandez, thank you so much for joining us on RN Summer Breakfast this morning.
Thank you.